Of all the lamentable ideas to travel east across the Atlantic, there's hardly one viler than the tradition, I'm doing air quotes there, of Black Friday, an unspeakable rite of violent greed that many on this side of the Atlantic will biddably co-celebrate tomorrow. The bargain shopping ceremony of Black Friday is made all the sadder by the queuing that precedes it. So many people join the line, stand in it and on it, you might be confused into thinking that queuing is the point of it all. How did this happen, wonders Culturefile's Áine Gallagher, and what is the real attraction of queuing?
October in London, and you might have spent up to 9 hours waiting to enter a pop-up Pokemon store to buy Pikachu wearing a bowler hat. Closer to home, you might have been waiting 30 minutes to hear Naomi Klein discuss the climate crisis. Is one queue more worthy than the other? Some members are patient, others disgruntled. But we can all agree on one thing. It's a waste of time, right? The queuers of today are passionate. Some are paid, some are camping, all for the end gain, which might be a newer iPhone or the ever-elusive room to rent in Dublin City. Queuing is generally regarded as a very British thing to do. In fact, one of my abiding memories from a day out at Wimbledon was the queue. The order, the politeness, the efficiency. It was impressive. Although the British have crowned themselves the kings and queens of queuing, the French actually got there first and even gave the world the word queue, which means tail, even if they're a bit vague on the spelling. One thing is certain, though, we hate it, or so we moan. So why do we keep standing in line for this mundane exercise? And from bread to brunch queues, how is queuing culture evolving as we navigate through the on average 18 hours a year that each of us spend waiting in line? Phones in hand, of course.
My name is Oscar Kovar. I'm born and raised in Los Angeles, California. I am 29 years old and I am an impatient line waiter. Cure.
As a native Angeleno, Oscar Kovar has a seasoned relationship with queuing, from the valley to the beach.
Queuing, I guess, is an incorrect term to use in LA, because we wait in line in LA.
But all around the world, they're all looking to LA, always the first in new directions, because Cali leads the way.
I think especially in LA, there's a waiting in line culture. I think people are more prone to wait in line for things that signifies something, like being good or being part of something. I think it's like I'm going to wait in line here because this is a great restaurant, because there's a line. And so it must be good. It's a lot more important or responsible maybe to like wait for food in a restaurant than to like, you know, for a drink at a bar or to like dance. I think it's more acceptable as you get older. In your early 20s, you're waiting to get into a cool night. And in your like late 20s, early 30s, you're like waiting to get into a cool restaurant.
But it's not all boring. For those keen people watchers amongst us, the experience can be really engaging. So while I'm checking my email to look busy and important, I'm actually listening to the more important conversation behind me, all the while trying to get a look at the shoes having the conversation, all the while deciding what kind of coffee to order when I reach the journey's end.
My name is Joe Moran. I'm a professor of English and Cultural History at Liverpool John Moores University. I wrote a book called Queuing for Beginners. Obviously, there are many different types of queue. There are queues that are very mundane and routine. It's not a particularly glamorous activity, but there are certain kinds of queue where the queue itself becomes a sort of advertisement for the thing at the end of the queue.
I found myself in one of these queues recently. As the suited men standing in front of me place novella-type lunch orders, my gaze meanders through the room, searching for distraction. An eccentric pair of shoes waits behind me. The owner surprises me. It's a strange match. A face I recognise stands a couple of metres away, also waiting. While I try to recall our connection and to avoid a potentially awkward stop and chat, my gaze moves on. The latest addition to the queue, and standing in the back, rightly so, is dressed similarly to me, albeit in a brighter palette. I should really get more colour in my wardrobe. Ochre tweed scarves, raspberry berets, pink pleats please. I'm brought sharply back to attention, to the end of the line, or the beginning, however you may see it.
There is a democratising aspect to queuing. It's something that almost all of us have to do. I think certainly when people are queuing for things that are exciting or glamorous in some way, that there probably is an element of camaraderie in the queue, because essentially it's a sort of, there is a kind of esprit de corps that develops just because, say you're in a queue for the latest iPhone at the Apple store and you've turned up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're essentially with like-minded people.
As we eliminate queues in favour of online waits, it seems that the things we now stand in line for are increasingly intangible. Waiting at the bank on a Tuesday lunch break? No fun. Gossiping with contemporaries Sunday morning outside the yoga cafe? Great crack. Queuing has transformed from a banal necessity to a chic pursuit. And as our online ads become more precisely tailored, so do the queues we willingly join to spend time, to spend money. Are we just waiting for coffee or to be sifted and separated until we no longer stand as a beautiful mix, but ordered, lined up, ready and waiting patiently for glamour to descend?
Wasting my time in the waiting line. Do you believe in what you see?
Áine Gallagher there on the sneaky rise of queuing.